a door of hope. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Hosea chapter 2 and verse 15. The prophets of old were raised up to speak God's message in the nation's darkest hour. Thus was Hosea called to plead most intensely and urgently to his nation, which had departed from the living God into idolatry, worldliness, and unbelief. He was to plead as an officer of the law would plead to a person standing on the edge of a high building, ready to fling themselves down to destruction. That is, such an officer would plead most earnestly, urgently, and intensely. There was also to be in his pleading a divine threat to reduce the prosperous nation to economic bankruptcy. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. But a new note appears in chapter 2 and verse 6, and in chapter 2, verse 14. I will give the valley of Achor for a door of hope, and she shall sing there. Now first let me tell you the story of Hosea. Hosea had married a woman by the name of Gomer. She may have been beautiful in outward appearance, but maybe of a light and frivolous nature, which Hosea thought marriage would correct and elevate. Chapter 1, verse 2 is probably prophetic of what she would become, rather than what she was at the time of her marriage. But Gomer was to bring trouble, pain, and anguish of heart to Hosea. She played false to him by constant infidelity, until at last she departed from him. Leaving him, she sank lower and lower in moral degradation, until she was sold on the open market for the half price of a slave. But Hosea was commanded to seek her out, buy her back, that she might be cleansed from her sins and restored to Hosea again as the wife of his love. That is an amazing story. The first part, of course, is common enough, but not the second. But Hosea went after Gomer at God's command, and for him it became an exercise in divine love. In this very personal and domestic tragedy, Hosea learned the suffering that was in the heart of God, and that God yearns for the restoration of his fallen people. That's why God in his holiness must punish sin and all human infidelity. Yet the supreme revelation of this book is one of bleeding love. God so loved. Now let me tell you something in the second place of the Valley of Achor. The Valley of Achor took its name from the incident in Joshua chapter 7. Israel had moved into God's inheritance, the land of Palestine and promise. Here it was that they met the concentration of enemy force and power at Jericho. But there is a divine order of things. Jericho was to be compassed around till its walls fell flat. Before going to battle, Israel was warned not to put hands on any spoil and to bring all silver and gold into the Lord's treasury, being of his own creation. But one man by name of Achan, meaning trouble, took a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and hid them in his tent. When Israel were defeated by the people of small Ai, Joshua trembled for the future existence of his people in the land. There was sin in the camp, and God could no longer be with them while sin remained. But the divinely ordained method of casting lots for those days by the divinely ordained method of casting lots for those days. Achan was found to be the culprit. Confession was forced from it, and he and his family, having connived together, were taken down to the valley of Achor, meaning troubling, and stoned together and effectively buried. Achan troubled the nation by his evil actions and brought the nation into distress and was therefore troubled himself, being here punished for his sin. Thus sin was dealt with by death and burial. When such punishment was carried out, then God's favor returned to Israel, and never again was a battle lost until they took all the land God had given them. Hosea then goes on to say that in the valley of Achor, God swings open a door of hope, and he prophesies that this same valley shall become a place of rest and contentment. Now in the third place, notice the door of hope. Sin has no door of hope. No sinner can make for himself a door of hope. The man without God has no hope. Ephesians 2 verse 12. Only God can make for us a door of hope. But how can God make and open such a door when his holy character demands the punishment of sin? To understand that, I will have to take you to John chapter 12 and verse 27. The Lord was on his way from being glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration to the cross. On the way, he said, "Now is my soul troubled. Why should his holy soul be troubled when he had no sin?" Because he was moving to the cross as our sin bearer, and all our iniquities were being laid upon him. He was troubled with an infinite troubling, as if the whole universe was being shaken, for the punishment of every sin was to be endured by him. He was on his way, as it were, to the valley of Achor, that all our sin may be taken into his death and burial. Thus through the cross of shame and suffering, a door of hope was to swing open for every soul of man. This also indicates what believers enjoy in their first conversion. That is, lay a foundation for hope of eternal glory and happiness. Grace and glory are so strictly connected that the one is the door of hope to the other. If, however, there is a door of hope swung open at the cross, there is also a human responsibility. That responsibility is that each of us, one by one, go through that door. As we do so, we find that the valley of Achor, which we dreaded, does, through the sacrifice of our dear Savior, lead into sweet rest and contentment of heart. Our Lord was to experience travail of soul. His labor was soul labor, soul suffering, for he was to make his soul an offering for sin. The troubling of his soul was expressed in such cries as, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" They were troublings which the ancients called unknown agonies. But none of this labor was lost labor. The troubling of his soul, which he endured, was not in vain. It was to lead his people through a door of hope into rest and contentment. Now, kindly hear the words. Hear the words of John Neal, based on an early Greek hymn. Art thou weary, heavy laden? Art thou sore distressed? Come to me, saith one, and coming, be at rest. Hath he marks to lead thee to him? If he be thy guide? In his feet and hands are wound prints, and his side. Is there diadem as monarch, that his brow adorns? Yea, a crown in very surety, but of thorns. If I ask him to receive me, will he say me nay? Not till earth and not till heaven pass away. Finding, following, keeping, struggling, is he sure to bless?